You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always, on a Thursday, it's the double-header dream team of David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, Nick Kunzer from Sunland Private Wealth. Relatively quiet day on the JSE Securities Exchange, Nick. But the enduring theme is as follows. There's this sort of, as we go to the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the quarter, market's not pushing on. It doesn't mean to say there's going to be a crash, but it just does say that there's a pause and we need some kind of impetus to go higher.
Well, we do. And of course, not that quiet if you have to mention, aside from Reserve Bank's MPC decision today, but no real surprises. But no, you're right. It just feels, and David alluded to it a while ago as well, it's like tired up here. We need an impetus to take us up to another level. If you want to break 4,000 on the S&P 500, which seems to be where it wants to go at some point, you need something to get it up there. Because we've had the $1.9 trillion stimulus. We've had the U.S. earnings season is pretty much done now. We're heading towards the end of March. We're heading into the second quarter. There's all concerns about the yield curve and inflation sort of sticking its head up very slowly, seems to be. There's just so much to digest. And I just feel like to get it up another level is going to take a lot. And if I look at the S&P 500, sitting right on the 50-day moving average, JSE All Share year to date up 8.96%. It was 10% 2 weeks ago. So we've quietly given back 6%. So far this month, and going to another level, it's going to take a big
loss. Not so quietly, actually, David, because Nick alluded to the S&P 500, and I was talking to a technical analyst this afternoon about this, and he agreed with me entirely when he said that it's not rolling over, it's not going to collapse, but on the other hand, it hasn't got any impetus to go up technically. Uh-huh. And also the third wave is hitting Europe quite badly. I can tell you that. I mean, I know that I will not be going to a football match this year. I know that I will not be going to Paris or Barcelona or the Greek islands this year because unless I've got a vaccine passport and I'm willing to go through incredible checks at transport hubs like railway stations and airports, I really don't want to do that. So it's incredibly impactful.
No, I agree. I think it's fatigued, and I think we're finding stories, but people are still very nervous. They're very cautious, and I think even though Angela Merkel has now backtracked on her Easter lockdown, I still think that people are going to hold back. I don't think everybody's going to be rushing out. And you've actually seen that in China. You know that if you go and see the consumer numbers, they haven't been the kind of numbers that everybody thought they would be. There's still a lot of reluctance to go out and party. So I'm feeling tired. What I mean is I'm reflecting the market. I feel fatigued. There's no new stories we can push. We know the stimulus. We know the vaccine rollout. So what are we going to get the markets going again? I think we need a couple of months breathers, certainly a few weeks. And I'm not unhappy if we just roll along like this without, without anything and just let it find its own kind of levels. But I don't buy the stories. A lot of the media kind of make up stories because they have to, or commentators make up stories. But I don't think the stories are that severe or that kind of relevant. Why is the market going down? Oh, well, let's look for an excuse. I just think we're tired.
Well, I'm not making this story
up. Also, if I can just add that we spoke about this a while ago, that these markets are, markets are discounting mechanisms. They discount future earnings. They discount looking forward. And if I look at sort of value, let's go back to old-fashioned stuff we haven't done for a while. Look at old-fashioned valuations. The S&P is not cheap. We've discounted. Everyone's spoken about the vaccines are coming and America's done 100 mil. And we're looking and we see light at the end of the tunnel. But it just looks a long way away. And I think anything that does come and Lindsay does get his holiday to Santorini at the end of the year sooner than he thinks, that's already in the price. We've discounted so much of this good news. And I think that's that's where there's nothing left to discuss.
Yeah, Santorini's an interesting one, Nick, actually, because it's got black beaches and it's halfway between Crete and Ios. And I think you've been to Ios yourself, and Santorini's a lovely island. But I think the bigger picture is I actually don't want to go. I don't want to go and then get stranded and have to go through different tests and have a vaccine passport. I'd just rather stay at home and have a look at the markets, which look like this at the moment, because David was talking about the media making things up. Well, I'm not making this up, because the Rand is 15.07. It's 1.3% weaker. The British pound against the Rand is 20.67. The Euro Rand is 17.77. The Euro dollar is 1.1785. Look at that thing. Look how strong the US dollar is. The cable is 137.15. That's the British pound against the US dollar. The gold price is, look at that, it's actually rallying despite the strength of the US dollar. It's $17.37, which is up $11. The platinum price is down 25 to $11.61. Nick, where is palladium, please?
Well, holding its own a little bit, but down $20 at the moment, 2,613.
Okay. Now, there's a massive move on the crude oil price. I don't know if that tanker has suddenly been shifted in the Suez Canal, because the oil price has collapsed this afternoon. It's 5.5% weaker for West Texas, $57.84. Brent crude oil is $61.44, which is down 4.6%. The U.S. 10-year bond yield is... yeah, a bit of a safe haven play here, but only very slightly. It's just above 160. The South African 10-year bond yield after the Reserve Bank decision is 9.535%. And Nick, give us the US indices, please, under pressure.
Yeah, under pressure. Lows of the session, actually. 38.55, that's your S&P 500 front month future. So quite a big level, apparently, at 38.50. So we're almost on the level. Sitting on the... 50-day moving average. If we look at the NASDAQ as well, NASDAQ is now, goodness me, it's now 12,600. This was over 13,000 not so long ago. That is down 4%. And the Dow Jones Industrial, if those who still watch that indicator, that is at 12,800. Sorry, at 32,064, so come off quite a bit.
I have to go now, but I just wanted to add one comment, Lindsay.
Yes.
Isn't it strange that as soon as the markets start to feel tired and start to feel stretched, the dollar comes back? Mm. You know, with all the criticism about the dollar, that's the first, that's the haven.
Your final
flight to cash.
Yeah. You know, you can see it all along. There's worries about Europe. There are worries about everything else. And, okay, let's buy the dollar. And it goes fast.
I can also just... before you go, David, can also just add as well, you know, that contrary to what people say about America and the U.S. markets and China's coming back and all the rest of it, I think the last couple of weeks have just proven you've got to be very careful betting against America.
They are the
engine of growth.
I'll see you. Cheers.
Good night, ciao, David. Ciao. David Shapiro is from Sasfin Securities. He's had to dash off to being disloyal to some other media outlet. Nick Kunze, you've also got to go to Pretoria. So let's wrap this up if we can. Was there anything on the JSE Securities Exchange today that caught your eye? Because I was talking to a technical analyst, as I mentioned earlier, about Naspers, and he was fearful of Naspers. I mean, he really was. He was looking at the chart and he was comparing it to what he saw with Sasol a while ago. And okay, that's a little bit dramatic, but he did say that he thought that Naspers looked less than perky, let's put it that way.
Not a screaming buy, as they say. It's a difficult one. Look, Naspers obviously taking majority of its guidance from its big chunk that it owns in Tencent in China. And David briefly alluded to what Chinese shares are done. You know, some of them are off close to 30%. I've got a bit of exposure on a few Chinese tech shares via the ADRs in America.
Yeah.
And over the last few days, those who thought the Biden administration were going to be cozier to the Chinese than the Americans have been fooled. They've come out, they're talking about having all sorts of disclosures for accountancies, for the dual listings, the ADRs. I mean, Baidu, which listed a couple of days ago, down 8% yesterday. I mean, Alibaba is well north of 25% down from its highs. So I think that's your Tencent, that's your Naspers problem. Not only is it maybe technically looking great, it's also got this threat of Chinese regulatory authorities sort of hanging over it. And NSAIDs being mentioned more than once in the firing line. So I'm also quite nervous, and we're big holders of it. And in fact, most South Africans via their pension funds are holders of some sort of process in some shape or form. So it's a bit of a watch this one. It could be quite a ugly story if it doesn't carry on going. If it carries on sliding, let's put it that way.
Exactly. As I said in my introduction, it's nearly the end of the week. It's nearly the end of the month. But importantly, it's nearly the end of the quarter. And there was an exuberance at the beginning of the year about the markets. But suddenly, it's come to not a shuddering halt, but it's certainly become a more withdrawn sort of market. The market's gone within itself. If you see what do you. There's two things that could happen just before you make your comment. Do you think that the market is just taking that pause, and at the end of the month everything will be fine, and the market participants will goose up their quarter end statements with a wave of buying, or do you think that they'll actually capitulate and people will have to get these letters on their doorstep saying, actually, we were up 12%, but now we're only up 4%, something like that?
It's a difficult one to answer. I mean, it brings me back to, you know, something that people often mention, like don't fight the Fed. I'm inclined to, my gut says to me we are going lower, but the other side of me says I'm seeing what Jay Powell's doing. I've got money to print nonstop over there. I see what Janet Yellen's doing. I see what the Bank of England are doing themselves. I think they're looking at this yield curve and getting very concerned. Now, the problem I've got, Lindsay, I had this conversation with my colleagues, who we always bounce ideas off every day, the theme, what we're thinking. And the problem is that a lot of the sort of stars don't line up right now. So the theme at the start of this year, and you talk about the exuberance, and it started to play out, was a weaker dollar. US are printing money. We're going to probably have lower for longer interest rates. I was concerned about inflation, so that I wanted to buy commodities, that inflation play, etc. But the last week or two, a lot of stuff that are correlated has become uncorrelated. And that, from a trader, myself being a trader, makes me very nervous because why is gold up, as you pointed out? Why is gold holding firm when the dollar is on an absolute charge? Dollar was up against every cross currency today. That doesn't make sense. Why would palladium as a base metal break 2,600? Yes, there were shortages and flooding in Siberia. But there's a lot of things that don't add up. And this yield curve, I mean, Jay Powell literally looked straight at the camera and said, we see no inflation. We see full employment. We are not raising rates till 2023. The bottom market turns around, sticks two fingers up and ramps it up to 175. That doesn't also add up. So, and then of course, what doesn't add up more, and you can't, what is the expression, in this, square the circle? You can't square the circle with if Jay Powell then looks at the screen and says, we're on absolute fire, we are going to grow at 6.5%. And in the same breath, he says, we're keeping rates at zero for 2023. It doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't.
There's so much that doesn't add up. And that's what I'm finding very, very difficult at the moment.
And if this is the key point, Nick, is that you're a trader. Mm. You're a long-term fund manager, but at the same time, you take that hat off and you're a trader. And if everyone is feeling the same as you, because you're part of a network of intelligent people, if everyone's feeling the same, then market uncertainty, when it comes to market participant uncertainty, is what drives the markets. So, yeah.
100%. Yeah. Well, I mean, I refer back to your conversation the trade you put in a few days ago. I said that also didn't add up. If the markets were so volatile and such wild swings, why was implied volatility mathematically incorrect? Why was it sitting at 19%? Well, that was 20% ago. Because in 3 days, it's now ramped 22% up. It's 23% fixed at the moment.
We did well.
Now, there's your barometer to the market right now. Now I think that's still going to go higher.
Okay, give us the JSE indices before you go to Pretoria on a family matter.
North Upper M1 for my sins.
Oh, my goodness me. What's the traffic like, by the way, on that route? Because it used to be horrible at this time of day.
It's actually not. It's the other thing that you battle to square up, because it actually it's quite busy. So a lot of people are starting to get back in the offices. We certainly aren't at Sunderland, but the roads have definitely picked up quite a bit over the last few weeks. So I think people are going back. Well, what's not going back is the JSE All Share, down 0.73% on this Thursday, 64,783. Goodness me, 69,000 seems so long ago.
A long time.
And the top 40 travel index, now under 60,000 seems so long ago. That's down 0.82% today, 59,278. Very little in the green. We had a bit of consumer non-cyclicals, which are higher by 0.18, but the majority, everything else is in the red. They're lower by industrials, 0.16% down. Banks, once again, financials down 0.46%. They just can't get above these banks. Healthcare down 1.25%. Energy shares with this big move in oil, down 2.42%. And utilities, tough, tough day in the office, down 4.26% today. And value traded continues to be 25.6 billion, really picking up also on the downside.
On the downside, I mean, JSE off its lows, it was well over 1% lower earlier on. Just let me give you the top five major moves, which you don't need to comment upon. Hammerson down 4%, RB Platinum down 3.7%, MC Group, that's MultiChoice, down 3.1%, Cup down 2.9%, Impala Platinum down 2%, sorry, up. I'm talking down because I've got this bearish mode in my head at the moment. All of the ones I've just mentioned are up. Impala Platinum up 2.5%. Downside, these are down ones. Truworths down 3.6%. TFG, another retailer, down 3.5%. Glencore down 2.75%. Aspen down 2.4%. Very finally, you sent me this brilliant article, which you can highlight to our vast listenership about Bitcoin. Give us Bitcoin and tell us where we can have a look at this article.
Yeah, so it's actually a subscriber-only base for those who want to sign it up. And I'm happy to share a few snippets as long as it's not forwarded. They can contact the show and I can get them in touch with it. But Bitcoin, goodness me, here's another one. I mean, this Bitcoin's supposed to be the risk-off play. Bitcoin is not a store of wealth today on the sell-off. It's down 5%. It's down $2,700 at the moment, 51,400.
Okay. Nick Kunzeris from Sanlam Private Wealth. Earlier we were speaking to David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. Nick, please drive safely to Pretoria and we'll speak again in the morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.